there, please turn your Bibles to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 2. If I didn't get around to shaking your hand or fellowship with you this morning, please do not be offended. I tried to stay away from everybody. I am still not feeling real well, and I don't want to give you what I've got. You're welcome. Love you all. Luke chapter 2. The last couple of weeks as I've been preaching, I've preached what God has laid on my heart to preach, messages on giving. The first week I preached on tithing and pointed to Nehemiah chapter 10, verse 39, where the Hebrew children had finally come to the point where they boldly proclaimed, "We will no longer neglect the house of God." The second message on giving, we considered how we are to give to others, and I pointed to Acts chapter 3 and Proverbs chapter 3, and we found that we are to give what we have, when we have it, to those who are in need of what we have. I've said this time and time and time again, and I don't know that it's quite gotten through, but God has blessed us that we might not be blessings unto ourselves, but we might be blessing to others. This morning, I want to preach another message on giving, but I'm going to blend it and incorporate it, our giving with Christmas. So let's look at Luke chapter 2, verse 1. Luke chapter 2, verse 1. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that the whole empire should be registered. The first registration took place while Cornelius was governing Syria. So everyone went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph went up to the town of Nazareth in Galilee, to Judah, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was the household of the family of line of David, to be registered along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was pregnant. While they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in snugly swaddling cloth and laid him in a feeding trough because there was no room for him in the inn. In the same region, shepherds were staying out in the field and keeping watch right at night over their flock. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said unto them, Don't be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord, was born for you in the city of David. This will be a sign for you. You will find the baby wrapped in snugly in cloth, and lying in a manger. Suddenly there was a multitude of heavenly hosts with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to people he favors." When the angels had left them and returned to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go straight to Bethlehem and see what has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." Let us pray. Father, there's nothing in me that has the ability to preach this message in a way that gives it what it needs to have. Lord, I pray that you would not only be with me, be with this congregation. Lord, open our eyes and our ears and our hearts. Help us, God, to see what we need to see as we enter this time that we call Christmas. Lord, help us to get back to what it is. What it should be. Not for us, but for you. In Jesus' name I do pray, and all God's children said, amen. What we just read was Luke's account of the very first Christmas. I hope that there's a film room in heaven one day, and I want to see the event take place, quite honestly, because I don't believe Matthew and Luke have captured the absolute splendor of the birth of Christ in their writings. We only see church. We only see what these guys have written for us. And if you really think about it, Bob, all we're seeing is from the world's perspective. We see what is taking place here on earth. I want to ask you a question. Have you ever thought about what was taking place in heaven at this time? Do we have a scriptural record of what's taking place in heaven as Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God, steps off His throne, takes His crown off, and lays it beside His throne, takes His veil off, takes His robe off, takes His priestly and His kingly garments off, and lays them where they rightly are to be bestowed, and He puts on flesh and steps across the threshold of heaven? We don't see this account, Mr. White. We don't see this first Christmas in heaven. What we do see in these scriptures is this. We see Mary and Joseph on their way to Bethlehem, worn and weary, finally coming to their destination, only to find that the inn is full and no family and friends will receive them. We see that God again steps in and provides a place for them. God always provides. Have y'all ever wondered, and I kind of alluded to this a few years ago when I preached on No Room for Jesus. Have you ever wondered, I mean, Joseph and Mary, Joseph is coming into his hometown. There's no room for him in the inn, Miss Desi. There is. I mean, we all know that. I went to Rock Hill last week, and I didn't stay at the Quality Inn. I didn't stay at the Hampton Inn. You know where I stayed? With family. They received me. Do you think it's kind of unusual that Joseph is coming into the town that he was raised and no one will receive him? Why is that? Because he is a spouse to a woman who is pregnant and it's not his child. All alone, worn and weary, yet God provides. God always provides. We watch as Mary gives birth to the Savior of the world. Not just any person, church. Not just any person. Listen to me. She gives birth to the Savior of the world. Mary gives birth to the Savior of the earth. A human created by God, Mary, a human created by God, holds God in her arms. We just overlook the splendor. I don't know how we do. We miss it. We set it to the side. We've bypassed it. We've become too busy for it. But notice something else we see. We see in this scripture, we hear shepherds in a field who are visited by a host of angels, guiding them to be the first visitors of the Christ child and to hear their proclamation to give glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace and goodwill towards men. The very first Christmas message I preached here, you probably don't remember it, but I do. You know why we have so much turmoil on this earth? You know why there's no peace? Do you know why there's so much infighting? There's terrible race relations, the economy's in the toilet. Do you know why we're going through everything that we're going through? It can point back to these visiting angels with the shepherds. I believe that it's an equation for success and an equation for failure. You see, the reason we are in the shape that we're in and the world is in the shape that we're in is because we do not give glory to God in the highest. You see, if we gave glory to God in the highest, well, hold on a second, Brother Kyle, we give glory to God, yes, but we are not giving glory to God in the highest. It's not our first priority. It doesn't take first place. You see, because we do not give glory to God in the highest, we don't know what peace and goodwill towards man really is. But there was an invitation. God invited these men to be the first participants to see this Christ child. And the equation was given, Bill. But we've forgotten. And we've pushed it to the side. We also see something else here. We see and we know of a star that shone down that night. As Christ was born that should have directed all men of the world to the light of the world. That same light would again guide wise men to bring gifts to Mary and Joseph to sustain the child as he grew up in age. I think it was the second Christmas that I was here. I explained to you that, you know, have y'all ever wondered why in the world, what did they do with this money? Where'd this money come from? I mean, these guys were magi. They weren't even godly people. You see, Christ was rejected by his own people. And God provided. What is it that these wise men brought to Jesus? What was it? Gold and frankincense and myrrh. Now, we understand the gold part, don't we? We understand the gold part. Gold part still has a standard in our life. Frankincense and myrrh, we don't get that. These were very costly, very expensive possessions. What were they for? What was the reason for them bringing these to Jesus? Listen, his family had kicked him to the side. As a matter of fact, we're going to see a little bit of Joseph, and then we're not going to see Joseph again. How in the world do you think that Mary sustained her family? I imagine these gifts from these Gentile magi, they lasted a good long while. God always provides. Church, this was and still is a miraculous event, the birth of Christ. In my eyes, this is the first miracle of Christ. We always attribute that Christ's first miracle was turning water into wine. I want to throw it in the ring here. This is the greatest miracle I think I've ever seen in the Bible, that he would want to take on flesh to save our sorry selves. He left heaven. He left heaven. I promise you this, listen to me. I'm sick of this world. I am so sick of this world. I love each and every one of you. And while I'm here, I'm going to preach the gospel. I'm going to try to reach out to every one of you. But once I cross the threshold of heaven, I'm not coming back. You can't get me back. I don't want to come back. I don't need a grave marker. I don't need somebody to visit me. I don't even want you to cry for me when I'm die, because I'm going to be glad I'm home. But Jesus left home for here. That makes no sense to me. I wouldn't have done it for you. But the King of Heaven did. The King of Heaven did. Church, do you remember? Do you remember what Christmas was like when you were a child? Do you remember? I wish for one, just one day, I could revisit a Christmas from my past. For me, back in those days, Christmas was about family, food, and fun. I knew nothing of Jesus, the Son of God. And this day being the day that Christians would celebrate his birth, but somehow, some way, God made even those years without him special for me on his birthday. It's a special day. But it's God who made it special. It's not us. We try to make Christmas special, and it's not in us to make it special. It's all about Jesus. I knew there was something different about this day, Christmas Day. Even before I knew Jesus, I knew there was something different about it. And that thing that drew me is what drew me to Jesus. Church, what has Christmas become? Now, I've just told you what it should be. As we reflected on the wonders of His birth, church, Christmas Day ought to be a day filled with such awe and wonder as we celebrate Christ's birth. We saw what Christmas was when we were children. But what has it become? What is it that Christmas has become? Now, at first, I must warn you, as I breach this particular subject matter, that every gift that God has given man, and Christmas is and should be considered a gift from God, because on this day, God gave His one and only begotten Son. But please remember that every recorded gift that God has ever given to man in Scripture, man has found a way of messing it up. Christmas is a gift. What have we done? Us. What is it that we've done? We've made a mess out of Christmas. And it's our own fault. Christmas has become about giving gifts to others and not the one whose birthday we're celebrating. Now, I'm giving you an opportunity here in a few weeks to make that right. We'll have a gift box sitting right here. And it's going to say, "Happy Birthday, Jesus," on it. Because it's whose birthday? Jesus' birthday. And you can give Jesus a present. It goes straight to Lottie Moon Christmas offering. Go straight to the missionaries who were out there telling other people about Jesus. We're in such a hurry. Is that what Christmas is about? Buying gifts for other people? It's not their birthday, and being in such a hurry. Anybody out and about Savannah yesterday? Was it enjoyable? Make you want to come home and sing Deck the Halls? Silent Night? Church, we worry. Listen, we worry for months about how we're going to have enough money to buy all the people on our gift lists gifts. And then we worry for months after Christmas how we're going to pay for the money that we borrowed to pay for those gifts. We robbed Peter to pay Paul in the month of December to give somebody a gift, listen to me, that they're not going to remember 2 weeks after you give it to them. Can I be honest here? I have enough. We've messed Christmas up. James, I have enough. I have enough ties. I have enough shoes. I have enough shirts. I have enough, you know, suits. I've got enough cups and plates and napkins and trinkets and Christmas ornaments. I don't even know if I want to put it up this year. Because Jesus isn't about that. It's not a blessing unto Jesus' heart to see that we have a Christmas tree in our house and presents under the tree. Is any of that about Christmas and Jesus? We've messed up. Church, I don't need any more presents. I need the presence of God. I don't need any more gifts. I need the gift of the indwelling possession of the Holy Spirit of God to be relevant in my life. That's the presence I want. Church, what is it that Christmas should always be? We've looked at what it was. We looked at what it was when we were a child. we looked at what it's become. What is it that Christmas should be? Christmas should forever be about the birth of the Savior of the world, first and foremost. Now, how do we do this? You need to have a family meeting. Today, maybe. You know, here a few weeks ago, we had a finance committee meeting here at the church. And when I was a youth pastor, finances, it just went over my head. My motto as I was a youth pastor is I want to try and get as much funds as I possibly can to support the youth ministry that we might be able to spread the word of God. And I had, and this was the wrong idea, but this was my mindset. If I don't use it, they're going to take it from me. If I don't use it, I can't ask for more. But the finance committee met, and before we say anything else, before we pray, before we look at any of the finances, I looked at them and I said, listen to me. As we go through the finance, one by one, item by item, I want each and every one of us to ask ourselves, can we visibly see God using this ministry to reach the people with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Is that fair? I mean, isn't that what we should be doing? We ought to be able to visibly see, Brother Frank, viable ministry taking place with the money that we spend and go out these doors, right? That's what we need to be doing with Christmas. Brother Kyle, I don't see what you're talking about here. I don't understand. What is it that you're saying? We might, to right now, need to declare that anything that is going to rob us of our time with Jesus is not worth our time, or at least make sure that we don't shorten our time with Jesus to make time for something that has nothing to do with Him at all. Christmas is about Jesus. About Jesus. Can I tell you as a Christian something that just just kills me, just breaks my heart? Friends of mine, and I hope they're listening. I hope they'll listen to this message. I don't know. I don't know. Proclaiming to love Jesus, and on Christmas Eve, boy, they're getting it on. Can you imagine getting drunk on Christmas Eve, the day that the Savior was born? Let's have one for Jesus. Listen to me. If what you're doing is not about Jesus and His birth and spending time with Him, it's not about Christmas. What else should it always be? Church, find somebody in need this Christmas and help them. And when you help them, tell them about who it is that's given you the strength, giving you your strength. I can't think of a better gift than anybody in the world could ever receive than someone telling them about the love of Christ, telling them how to obtain eternal life. Well, Brother Kyle, I don't know anybody in need. I don't know anybody in need. Well, let me give you a suggestion. Drive up the street to Walmart. Drive down Montgomery Crossroads and go to Kmart. They have these little things called layaway. And people who are really hurt, they put stuff on layaway. It's a smart thing. And they lay stuff away for months. Have a seat, because there's usually a bench right there. And pray, God, I want you to show me who I'm supposed to help. And I promise you, listen, when they walk through the door, you'll know it. And when they go up to the register to pay, don't even ask. Don't ask how much. Don't listen. Just whip out your billfold. Pay the remainder balance. Tell them that Jesus loves them.
That's the reason you're doing what you're doing. And walk away. Do something for somebody else. What else should we be doing? Church, find time. Find time for you, just you, to get along with Jesus and spend time with Him on His birthday. I can't tell you how many times I got a phone call from my dad on my birthday. I'm his only son. He thought I was born on May 2nd. The funny thing is, when he finally got around to calling me, he said, "Oh, you had a birthday this month." Yeah. It's the 2nd, right? No, it's the 3rd. I didn't get a call on the 2nd or the 3rd. Can I tell you how that felt? And church, I'm going to be honest with you. I still struggle with it. Because my whole life I wanted a relationship with my dad. And I never had it. And it's driven me to the point where I've overdone it with my children. I mean, I was there at every sporting event. I was chaperoning. I was doing this. I was doing that. I was doing this. I was doing that. And listen, I wanted a relationship that I never had with my dad. And I really don't have it with my own children. It hurts. You know, Jesus is your father. It's his birthday. I wonder what it feels like to him when we spend the whole day doing a whole bunch of nothing that has anything to do with his birth. We celebrate everything but him coming into the world. It's his birthday. It's his birthday, right? What else can we do? Church, say Merry Christmas as often as you can. Say Merry Christmas as often as you can. We all know that our culture is trying to make Christmas into an event, kind of like the Olympics or the Super Bowl or the World Series. Our culture is trying to make Christmas into an event, and they're doing a good job. And listen, we as Christians have bought into it. We buy tickets for it, and we want to be front row exhibitors. We do. It's not an event. But we've made Christmas into an event that it's not. But can I tell you that they can only take Christmas from you when you yield to their demands and stop calling Christmas Christmas? So say Merry Christmas to everyone you can see. And maybe add, Jesus loves you. Merry Christmas. Jesus loves you. It's not hard. Watch. Merry Christmas. Jesus loves you. Church, I have to make a confession here. I have not been the funnest person to be around for some time at Christmas. Because I've lost sight of what Christmas is. I made the mistake of focusing on what Christmas should be. Christmas is all about Jesus. And you control how much Jesus you allow to be in your Christmas. Will you put Jesus first in your Christmas this year? Let's all stand. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, I love you. And for the life of me, I don't understand why in the world you would come to this earth for me. But you did. And I'm thankful for it. It's a debt that I can never repay. God, please forgive me for what I've made Christmas. Please forgive me of my unrealistic expectations. Please forgive me for not doing for others the way I need to do.
Please forgive me for not spending enough time with you because it's your day. God, may we all step back right now. See who we are. See what we've made it. And do everything we can to make it right. In Jesus' name I do pray. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, the altar's open. Do you need to come?